2023. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, also known as the WAUK Radio Studios here on 217 Wisconsin Avenue in the NAMI building, right around the corner from Theodora Yellman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. I am joined by my talented and capable engineer, Calvin. Hello, Calvin. And it is a beautiful sunny morning here in downtown, in spite of the chilly, chilly temperatures. I'd like to start the show by expressing my heartfelt thanks to all of you for your prayers and condolences over the recent passing of my mother. My mom lived for 91 years, was married to the great love of her life for 67 years, brought 10 children into the world, and spoiled more than 15 grandchildren, was a devoted teacher of Latin and other languages, and a devout Catholic who touched so many lives in our hometown back in Western New York. It is also, it is an enormous comfort knowing that she is reunited with my father, who passed away less than 2 years ago, and along with the brother I never knew but has always been by my side. And it's also a great comfort to know that she lives forever through the love she shared with her children, grandchildren, and so many others. So thank you again. And a special thanks also to Connor Boston and Johnny Watermelon to most of us, for covering for me on the Black Shirt Radio broadcast Tuesday and Thursday. Calvin, how'd they do? You can be
they honest. Won both games.
No, I'm talking about Calvin.
The Connor broadcast was fantastic. Oh, Johnny and Connor did a great job. Knocked it out of the park.
Love it, yes. I know Johnny, by his own admission, not a big basketball guy, not as passionate about it as he is about football, not as knowledgeable. But I caught a little bit of it, and I thought they were great. But, yes, Calvin, thanks for stealing my thunder. They the Black Shirts beat West on Tuesday. By a nice little margin. I think that might have been a 15-point margin, if I remember correctly. And then they beat North. That victory was at home against West. And then at North, they beat North. And I think it was a similar margin, 15 points. So they are 4-0 against their crosstown rivals this basketball season and are looking to and they're currently, I believe, 10-8 overall and 8-5 in the Classic 8, if I have that correctly. And if they played a normal non-conference schedule instead of the best teams in the area you could find that are ranked in the state, they'd probably be 10-4. Credit to Coach Richter for having a really tough schedule, which will get them well prepared for the playoffs. And Blackshirts are looking to run the table on Tuesday evening at Catholic Memorial, where they hope to avenge a loss at home earlier in the season. They are playing today, 5 p.m. at Pewaukee. Unfortunately, we will not be broadcasting that game, but the good news is the reason why is because starting at noon today, one of Wisconsin's favorite sons, Charlie Barron's, debuts. He's going to have a noon show here every Saturday called the Cripes Cast, and I think today they're doing kind of a Charlie Barron's marathon, so happy to step aside and having Charlie Barron's broadcast. He'll be broadcasting throughout all the civic media networks. So what a great development for our, family of networks. So, hey, I also want to give a big shout-out to Sad Boy Lou over at Katrina Cafe, who is the antithesis of sad. Great story behind his nickname. He served me this tasty cup of coffee to help me prepare for this today's show. So, Lou, hopefully, is going to be a guest on one of my upcoming shows, along with the owners there, Katrina Cafe, to share some exciting projects that Lou's working on and that the others are working on. So, Connor, is there a caller?
Yes, Kristen is here.
And this is my guest who's appearing via phone, Kristen Hansen. Top of the morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm good.
Good, good.
It is already 14 degrees, so we're better than yesterday.
Yes. How about it? So, Kristen, you'll be pleased to know, as I was leaving the Buffalo airport, and I always tell people, it's always warmer in Buffalo in the winter than it is here, which is why we get all the snow, but it was so much colder. Like, the air coming in through the door, you know, to the plane, you know, the hangar or whatever they call it, the leg going to the, like that air was coming in while you were sitting there. Wait, and it was freezing. It was got like all the heat.
Oh God.
It was awful. So, interesting that I'm actually heading back to warmer weather when I was heading back to, Wisconsin last night. But Chris and I appreciate you accommodating me under short notice. And, of course your appearance here is very timely because we have some elections coming up, don't we?
We do. I know it seems like we just did this, but we're going to do it again. And then we're going to have the fall off. So everybody knows you're going to vote in February and April, and then you can take the rest of 2023 off.
Great news. And so I guess we should start by the number one, which is the primary coming up on February 21st, particularly the Supreme Court. Could you shed some light on that for all of us listening?
So first of all, I know the 21st sounds like a few weeks away, but early voting starts this Tuesday already on the 7th. So we'll have our usual couple of weeks of early voting. You can go to your municipal hall during their regular office hours, probably, and vote early, or there's still time to request a ballot and vote by mail. For the people in Waukesha County, for everyone in the state, you will have one major race on that ballot. And that is the Supreme Court primary. Some, depending on where you live, you might have other primaries. Elmbrook School Board has a race, but the focus is going to be narrowing down four candidates to two candidates. So you'll go in and you'll vote for the primary for one person, and then the top two vote getters will proceed on to the April 4th general election. So sometimes folks are like, do I vote for two people? Because two people get to win. No, you vote for one person, and regardless of their ideological or otherwise leanings, the top two vote getters will move on.
Okay.
So, yeah. In this race, we have an interesting situation that, frankly, I can't think of a time in recent history when this has happened, at least, like I said, recently. We have two candidates who lean conservative, and we have two candidates who are considered the liberal candidates. So folks, need to really investigate all four of them and, see who they think best represents their values and who they would like to be able to vote for again in the April election and eventually see actually on our Supreme Court. So a lot of thoughtful consideration to be done there. And I hope that folks really do give it some thought and don't just, decide to stay home and let other people choose for them, because that's essentially what happens when you don't vote in a primary.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Please do your homework. And, I'd also want to, Kristen, you mentioned the party affiliations or the ideologies. These are nonpartisan primaries though, correct?
Correct. These are
Thank you.
Yeah, and all of the races in, this is important, I'm glad you brought that up. All of the races in spring elections, except for the special election for Senate in the District 8, which is a bit of Menominee Falls, is the bit of Waukesha County in that. They're all nonpartisan, but that means is when you go into you look at your ballot, there isn't going to be an R or a D or an L or anything else next to the person's name. And sometimes I hear voters be surprised that they don't have any indication, which way the candidate leans by looking at the ballot. So that's why you need to do your homework ahead of time. And actually, on our website at blueskywaukesha.org, if you click on the elections endorsements page, at the bottom of the top section, there's a nonpartisan candidate guide that is put out by a group called guides.org. Mm. And that really is, it's just basic information about all four of the candidates with no opinion or bias put in at all. And it links to all of their websites. So that, regardless of what your leaning is, that's a good place to look for that.
Yes.
Guides.vote.
Sure.
Yeah. Is their website.
And one thing we want to emphasize, Kristen, is that for the court, we need to put ideology aside, that Supreme Court members should be all about the rule of law. And so it's so important because our courts have become so politicized. And the rule of law must trump any political ideologies you have? And could you help explain why that's important?
Well, I think, you know, I think you're right. You want people who are not making up new laws or, you know, coming in with preconceived notions. However, I think we're learning more and more that folks do want to vote for someone who shares their values and will also deliver within the scope of the law a ruling that is fair and just. So I think that's where people have gotten a bit disillusioned, especially with the U.S. Supreme Court, is that they seem very out of touch with where the citizens of America are. So that's why I think it's important to do your research, learn about the candidates. There's lots of articles out there. There is that guide, the Nonpartisan Voters Guide on Guides.Vote. And you can, you know, really spend, even if you spend 10 or 15 minutes reading the backgrounds of the people, you know, think about who you want making decisions for you, because it is important. This is a 10-year term. So someone's going to be in that seat for 10 years.
That's a long time.
You want it to be someone who you think is protecting your rights. So, yeah, it's a long time. And the other thing is, you know, I really hope that a lot of people vote in this primary and the general election, because not every state gets the opportunity to vote for their Supreme Court justices.
Interesting. Okay.
You know, we certainly don't get to vote for our U.S. Supreme Court. But so this is a big opportunity.
Absolutely. So, Kristen, when we come back from the break, there's one issue in particular concerning fair elections that is, you know, this Supreme Court race hinges upon, as well as some general elections coming up. I'd love for you to stick around and discuss. So we'll be back in This Week in Waukesha, and we're going to talk about fair elections in our Supreme Court. Don't go away. This Week in Waukesha continues. Talk about it. That's The Grassroots with Sooner or Later. I play this song this time every year to remind all the guys out there. Valentine's Day is right around the corner, so great chocolatier here on Main Street. And Kristen Hansen's with us. I'm sure she's got a lot of great recommendations for Valentine's Day. And hey, you know what I learned, Kristen? I just realized.
What did you learn?
When I was back home, and my brother loves, he binge watches The Office, and I didn't realize that that one character named Creed is Creed Bratton. From The Grassroots. How cool is that? And he plays a fictionalized version of himself. Yeah. So
very okay, cool. That's kind of awesome.
Art imitating life and life imitating art. Yeah, very cool. So, but one of my favorite love songs.
You want to hear my advice for Valentine's Day for everyone?
Please.
Don't pull this crap about how it's a Hallmark holiday and you don't care about it unless you are 1,000% sure your partner feels the same way.
Excellent advice.
I've heard so many people be like, well, that's not a real holiday. I love my wife every day. Well, you know what? It's still kind of nice to have a little poke on the calendar to remind you to show it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said, Kristen. Well said. So,
my husband's great at that, so I'm not talking about him.
All right. Well, and I like to remind my wife that with us, every day is Valentine's Day. So.
But roses are on sale.
But yeah, guys out there, like, yeah, if there is one day, though, you should kind of go the extra measure. And so, you know what I could never figure out, and I apologize for going off topic, because I used to work in Vegas twice a year. There's a trade show I do there, and one was in February and the other was in August. But in February, you'd be amazed at the number of people getting married on Valentine's Day. Now, if you're the woman, like, why would you waste that day? You're letting your husband off the hook. Now he's got only one day, you know, to wine and dine you and show his love. And you've cheated yourself out of that second day. I couldn't figure that out for the life of me.
Well, I can't see. I can't speak to that because
anyway, but another
story. We got married on my birthday so that I would remember the dates. And that is a true story. I'm terrible Love with it. Dates. The only dates I know are when to vote. Love that it. I can remember.
Fantastic.
Well, anyway.
So Kristen, yeah,
speaking of voting, what should we talk about
next? Yes. One issue at stake is we've got a problem with fair elections in Wisconsin. The maps have been drawn, and they are very skewed. You look at the last elections, I understand, you know, Matt Flynn talks about this a lot in his show, is that the majority vote was overall, if you counted every vote, was Democrat. Not by enough, but enough that, you know, it's not really well represented, but yet the majority of victories or, you know, in the legislature and everywhere else show Republican. And that's just not right. It's not fair. And, you know, if you're a Republican, you can laugh and say, ha ha, but someday that pendulum's going to swing and the Democrats could very easily do that to you.
Well, yeah, and, you know, this is, let me just say, I know this is one of the Republican talking points is the voters are clustered where they're clustered, and it's not our fault that that's how the, you know, the districts work. That is not entirely true. So, yes, there are broad swaths where no matter what you do, the district is going to heavily lean red or heavily lean blue. But if you were really trying to draw fair districts, which we do believe the governor did try to do when he submitted his maps, which, if we remember, were initially accepted by the Supreme Court, if you're really trying to do that and to make sure that minority voters are represented or at least have an opportunity to choose their representative, there are ways you can draw the map to make more competitive districts.
Right.
So what I mean by that is we should be trying to look at a map that not only is fair to the balance of the voters so that the representation seems more balanced, but also so that there are districts where there is real competition. We have a situation now in Wisconsin that all voters should be upset about, which is they've drawn the maps to predetermine almost all of our legislative districts, and I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah.
In every other year when we elect all of the assembly seats are elected every other year, and it's staggered with the Senate, but you have a situation where a tiny handful of those seats is actually competitive. So even if you're a Republican who lives in the fringes of Milwaukee, for example, or in a lean blue district, you should also be upset that there's little to no chance you're going to have someone that shares your values get elected to represent you. Do we at least want some competition so that the elected officials have to actually talk about the issues, vie for your vote? I think that is, to me, one of the core problems with gerrymandering is that you have people who, once they win in a safe seat, they have no reason to listen to the voters ever again.
Right.
They can rerun in that seat for the rest of their lives. They never have to listen to the voters. They're going to get reelected just by rolling over and getting out of bed. And that is not good for anyone.
And I've seen it happen at the local level as an alderman where a majority of the elders are not engaging with their constituents because they know they're not going to lose and they're not running against they have nobody running against them. And that's, you know, when we get back from the break, this is a shorter segment, Kristen, we're going to talk about there's 6 seats up for election, 6 incumbents for the city council, and there's only one alder that's being challenged. And so when you know, we want to talk about why that happens and what we can do to solve that, get people to participate.
Sounds great.
Yeah, so I appreciate you sticking around. James Santel has just walked in for morning cannolis. We might get him to join the discussion.
Wave to Jim for me.
I will wait, but Kristen, you'll be very upset to know that Jim brought cannolis, and so you really missed out. So, but maybe we can airmail you one. But
tell him to drop me one on his way past my house.
All right, careful what you wish for. So, hey, we'll be back to talk more with Kristen Hansen, and then we're gonna finish up the Supreme Court discussion, and then focus in on these local elections. This Week in Watch Talk continues. Sooner or later, love.
To plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised.
Hey, we're back this week in Waukesha. Yes, the revolution will not be televised, but you will hear it here on Wauk Radio and throughout the civic media family of stations statewide. Kristen, are you still there? Kristen Hansen. Or did we... Oh, fantastic. So thanks for sticking around, Kristen. I know
not choking on the cannoli. It's good. Yeah. That's good.
Hey, I got to say, for those of you watching the Facebook live stream, the two happiest guys in Waukesha are myself and Calvin enjoying these lovely cannolis courtesy of Jim Santella morning cannolis. And Jim, if you're listening, Kristen says if you have an extra one, maybe on the way home, you can stop by her house. Yeah, he says it's got your name on it. So, but... I mean, you may want to put on a pot of coffee by the time Jim gets there. So,
yeah, there you go.
Hey, speaking of treats and breakfast, please don't forget that the Rotary Club's pancake breakfast is taking place right now at the Expo Center and the County Fairgrounds. You can have the best of both worlds by downloading the Civic Media app from your smartphone so that you can enjoy my show along with morning cannolis while enjoying a delicious breakfast. Courtesy of the Rotary Club. I hope to get over there later, and special thanks to Amanda Medina Roddy for the invite. Unfortunately, there are some family members under the weather, so we're looking into that. That may impact my ability to attend. But the good news is for the rest of you is that there will be more pancakes for you if you can make it, especially, you know, if my son Evan's not going, and he's a football player that he puts it away. So. Hope to see everybody there. But so, Kristen, yeah, we wanted to finish our conversation first about the Supreme Court and then jump into the local elections. And one question I had before we put the Supreme Court away is we do have a candidate that's become quite the, we can say it, a national celebrity. She's also a Waukesha South alumnus and in one of our own. It's Jennifer Doro. But again, would it not be preferable to have someone like her, maybe with her own radio show or TV show or some or podcast, versus dictating the rule of law for our state? And not a knock on her, but what I'm alluding at is really looking at the overall record of the candidates, and not just someone that got a lot of TV time and handled herself with a certain amount of integrity in dealing with a very difficult trial. Involved in the Christmas, but there's a lot more. There's a much bigger picture here that Wisconsin voters, Waukesha voters, need to pay attention to for Supreme Court.
Yeah, and this is where a person's research should come in. You need to look at the candidate's experience and character, as a whole, and make a decision for yourself. Just because somebody, you know, had their 15 minutes of fame on TikTok does not mean they deserve or should have, you know, a 10-year term on the highest court in the state of Wisconsin. So, you know, in the case that we have here, all four of the candidates are sitting judges. Three of the four are sitting judges. One of them had been a judge and a justice. So they have histories. And you're going to, with four candidates, you're going to see a lot of articles come out about different aspects of these people's, lives and backgrounds. So you need to pay attention to this one, not just base it on one case or someone's, celebrity status, because that is fleeting.
Yeah.
And sometimes people who are lifted up into the spotlight wither under it. Let's just say that.
Sure. Yeah, and I think, too, is to do an even deeper dive, or maybe if you're not a big reader, talk to your family lawyer or a member of your family that is an attorney, get their opinions. Stick around for James Santel that comes on at 9, because he's going to discuss the Supreme Court, I'm sure, throughout the next you know, going all the way up to the April general election, you're going to get some good nuggets of information to help guide, help form your who you should vote for. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I mean, what we have here are, if I may be so bold as to, you know, label them a little bit, there are two very conservative candidates. One who I think is more moderate, and one who will probably be seen as the more progressive. So, you know, if you are a conservative voter, you've got two choices, and you really need to dig in and decide who you think would be a good justice all the way around. Maybe even someone who, and this is for all four of the candidates, think about, you know, who is going to be able to stand up, like, dare I say it, Brian Hagedorn, and you know, maybe be a, not necessarily, and I don't know if we want to use the term swing vote, but, you know, who's going to really look at each case individually and say, where is justice here? Yes, an independent thinker, that's a good way to put it. Who is going to look at each case and say, justice needs to be done within the confines of the law, and how do I, what do I think about that, and how am I going to convince my fellow justices to move in that direction? Because we have had some cases out of this right-leaning Supreme Court that are questionable at best, where they were reading things into the laws that are not there. Like, and this, you talked about gerrymandering before, this is a perfect example. They came out before they even really investigated the case in front of them and said, we're going to base our decision on the least change to the current map. This is not a thing. That is not a, there is no law, there is no basis in history that says gerrymandering cases should be, you know, that justices should look at these cases and try to change the map as little as possible from the previous egregious gerrymander. So that is something they made up, and then they ruled based on that profile.
Wow.
That's the kind of thing we can't have happening.
It's unconscionable.
It was a shame.
Yeah.
It made Wisconsin a less democratic state, small d democratic. Yeah.
And that's the ultimate tragedy here, is that there's a few interests at work here. And again, if you're on the right, you know, be careful what you wish for, because someday the left or the Democrat may take, you know, the majority back, and they may be entitled to those same antics, and it's just it ruins a good thing for everybody. Is that correct?
Agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we're going to jump over now to the local elections. And this, you know, I will confess, you know, as former Alderman Don Paul Brown, and I have my hands full here at my office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. I mean, how many alders do you know have a retired U.S. attorney coming in to speak to the people from their offices? Not very many. You know,
zero, Don.
Or Kristen Hansen calling in. So I know you may be connecting with Alicia on occasion, Alicia Helbenslaven in the 11th. But, six seats up for re-election, and only one seat being challenged. It turns out it's my new district. It's Eric Payne, the longstanding alder, is being challenged by Bob Salb. Who we know, local activists. And it's essentially, and again, it's nonpartisan. These are nonpartisan elections, and that's what I like, because it all comes down to local issues, and all politics at the end of the day is local. And you know why? Can you explain? I mean, I know, but I want your opinion. Why are there nobody else running for city council?
I've actually given, knowing I was going to be on your show, I've given this a lot of thought. I think there are two things going on here. One of them is kind of the good news. The good news is, I think things are going well in the city of Waukesha. People feel like,
I can agree with that,
the city is moving forward. You know, we don't have any major drama. Thank you, Mayor. And we don't have, you know, we don't have big issues where people are feeling like, you know, we got to get rid of these guys. This place is, you know, a mess. So that part's good.
Problem.
I'm glad
yes.
people feel comfortable with the way the city is being run. However, I think the other issue is, because of that, there's an apathy and people don't even know who their district, who their alderman is.
Right.
Or whether they're doing a good job. And so I think taking political leanings out of it completely, because to be honest with you, we do such a good job, I think, in Waukesha of not politicizing the Common Council that I couldn't tell you which direction most of these people lean, because I don't care if they're doing a good job.
Absolutely.
But there are some people, and this is where I would ask the listeners to start to pay a little bit of attention. Is your alderman even doing the job? Because what I do hear sometimes is, because you can see, you can look at the agendas, you can look at the minutes, you can see who showed up to the meeting and who didn't. You can go and watch the meetings if you want to.
Right.
I don't know if they're still putting them on online, but
Yep. Is
your alderman just not even coming to the meetings? Mm-hmm. Is your alderman like not even showing up to the meetings of the committees that they're assigned to?
And is
because
your,
they're getting paid.
Yeah. And is your alder an independent voice for the district, or or just
and
a
are
free
they,
vote for the
are
city
they
leadership?
Standing up for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are they actually representing your little district?
Right.
And not some larger voice coming from somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, it's a little too late for this year, but unless you're in District 2, you do have a choice. And you should look into whether your alderman is actually doing his job. But for the rest of them, you know, in the future, spend a little time over the next couple of years and look at whether you're satisfied that your alderman is actually representing you. And if they're not, it's a part-time gig. You will have some meetings to go to. It does pay a bit of money.
Right.
For your time, but you know, maybe you think you want to do a better job. Maybe you think this time for you to, you know, even serve a couple of terms, sure. Give back to your community.
Yeah.
I think that's where I think it's completely, you know, nonpartisan and unbiased. If a person is not taking the job seriously, but sitting in that seat just taking up space, then you should think about challenging them.
And even in good times, mm-hmm. and you nailed it on the head, the city's doing well for the most part, but even in good times, it's important to have healthy debate. It's important to have fresh people with fresh ideas and a fresh approach, and perhaps maybe even a bigger commitment to engage with the constituents. And unfortunately, we don't. You know, I like for the most part, I like the people that I served with on the council, and including the ones that are up for re-election. But they, even by their own admission, they don't return a phone call within 24 hours or an email, or they may not return it at all. And there is some of them are even very smug about that or very intentional about that. And that to me is a bigger problem. I mean, what makes this city, this country great is the people, you know, the ultimate bosses. And so, and, you know, from my own experience too, as an alder, I felt that I had tremendous influence over shaping the future of this city, the budgets that I voted on, the reforms that we made, you know, there's a park in my own neighborhood that's much safer and a much more enjoyable experience because we got together with the neighbors and the parks department and made some cosmetic changes that make for a much better experience. And I take tremendous pride in that. And that's a big thing, though. That's a big part of our life is our, you know, the joy of our play and the ability to have a safe and fun place for our kids to play. So, but I'm glad that you're speaking to that. Calvin, how are we doing on time here?
We have about 90 seconds left.
90 seconds. That sounds terrific. So when we come back from the break, and Kristen, if you can stick around just a few minutes more, there is a there is an ordinance that the Ordinance and License Committee, when they meet this Monday, the 6th at 6 p.m. Actually, I think it's 6:30, but there's a chicken ordinance that's being discussed. This was up for review or vote when I was an alder a few years back, and it's just one of these interesting political issues. You know, never make the national news, but for people in Waukesha and this growing city, that's a hot button issue and one that people should be paying attention to and listening to. So we're going to talk more about that with Kristen Hansen when This Week in Waukesha continues. Don't go away. Nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or the Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised.
The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Sam Cooke, it's also my kind of reminder that this is Black History Month. And Kristen, do you have any plans for observing or any ideas for how people can and should observe Black History Month?
I think that there are a lot of books out there from a African-American or Black perspective, and you should read Black authors during Black History Month. Don't read about them. Read from them. Read right. Black authors.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you haven't read it, I would highly recommend the autobiography of Malcolm X by Alex Haley, because that is an amazing portrait of American history seen from the eyes of an African-American who, you talk about the transformation in his life. Yeah, it's definitely a great portrait of 20th century American history, and would give, you know, all of us a good perspective and the African-American experience in America. I know that I believe Earl Ingram will be dedicating some time during his show, 8 to 11, Monday through Friday, touching on some Black history moments and opportunities. So I highly encourage you to check Earl out. You should be listening to Earl anyway. He's a fantastic human being and really does a great job.
I think the legislature actually agreed on some people to honor during Black History Month too this year. So
nice,
we've got that going for us. Yeah,
and bipartisan support. So that's, you know, that's fantastic.
Look at that.
Yeah, and I apologize for my ignorance. Do you know who some of those individuals may be?
I'm going to guess people like Val Phillips, but to be honest, I did not read the whole article yet.
Okay.
It just came out, so I'm sure we'll see the full list somewhere.
Sounds great.
It's people from Wisconsin is how they narrowed it down. They said they wanted to highlight people who made an impact on the state, and I think that's fair.
That is so. Yeah, really quick, because I know we were going to talk about the chicken ordinance, but Johnny Watermelon, when he would help me out at the farmer's market when I was broadcasting the show there on Saturdays, he had a sweatshirt that said Freedom, and it had a clover, and Freedom, Wisconsin, and the high school nickname was the Irish. And I liked that sweatshirt for a number of reasons. He ended up giving it to me as a white elephant gift for Christmas. And, one, you know, being Irish, I love that. But I also know I learned about the story during Black History Month a year or two ago, that Freedom, Wisconsin was settled. Their first non-native settler was a gentleman named James Andrew Jackson, who was an African-American who arrived there in 1830 and had a lot of success in business. And he was asked by the town residents if they could name the town after him, Jackson. But he wanted the town to be named Freedom, because this is where he obtained his freedom. So just a nice little wrinkle of a Black history here in Wisconsin that's shaped our state's history. And, love to learn more about that story moving forward. So, but I know we don't have much time, so unfortunately we got to switch back to the chicken ordinance. So, I knew I threw you a curveball, Kristen, because I didn't ask you to prepare for this. But a great example of local politics that people need to be involved in and paying attention to, because – for many of us, that type of thing affects where you live and how you get to live.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I do think it's good that they're finally bringing this up, making some kind of an ordinance. I don't think people realize we have ordinances about how many pets you can have. But oftentimes, unless there's a complaint, And it's serious. It's nobody pays any attention to it.
Right.
The issue with chickens, and here is, you know, I've done a teeny bit of research during the break here. People say they want chickens because they want the eggs. Okay, that's fair. Chickens are a lot of work, and they are not just your chickens. They immediately become your neighbor's chickens in the sense that they can be very dirty and smelly. And if you get the wrong kind, a lot of noise.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think this is one of those things where it's not cute to think, I'm going to raise some chickens so I can get fresh eggs and be like Martha Stewart. They are a lot of work to keep the space clean and, you know, not interfering with your neighbor's enjoyment of their own property.
Sure.
So I think it's good that they're really looking into this. And it appears as though, from what I've heard, Alicia actually talked about this at our last meeting, and I think it's good that they're trying to come to some kind of a compromise, because Waukesha is a big chunk of Waukesha is an urban area, and you have close small backyards. You don't want someone with a farmette in the middle of an urban area where your neighbors can't get away from the smell and the noise.
Sure.
And chickens are prey. You know, do you want other kinds of animals coming in there to try to get at the chickens? And, you know, it's a barnyard animal for a reason. So I'm glad they're coming up with some reasonable rules.
Sure. Because I remember when I was on the council a couple years back, there were some people, proponents for chickens, including some young children that were really good at raising chickens.
I remember that.
And
yep.
It was very well organized and well spoken. They talked about, you know, Waukesha's long agrarian history, which still, you know, lives, even though we've become much more urbanized. And that, this was one of the happy mediums of living in Waukesha, is that you still could enjoy some of that rustic living and enjoy things like chickens and eggs if you were responsible enough to care for them. And so, and this is another reason why people need to get more involved. And, you know, unfortunately, I'd never really heard from those people again, and I'm sure they'll be, you know, coming back on Monday at that meeting to talk about that. But, again, when you only have one race out of six, unfortunately, some of those things can just be taken care of without you knowing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, yeah.
People just need to remember, just because you can stand up there and say, I'm a responsible owner of these animals, that doesn't mean everyone will be. So
right.
You have to be yep. reasonable about it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. So, Christian, what I would love to do in the future, and we'd probably pick a strategic time, there'll probably be another city council election coming up, because I believe it's every year, you know, it's staggered. Maybe like
yeah, that's
late
true.
Summer, early fall, we'd love to have you back on the show or even kind of do a series on how people can run for office and what's involved.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
You don't need to raise a lot of money. You only need 20 signatures to be a council member. And so there's really not a lot of heavy lifting in terms of running a campaign. And also just think of those one or two issues where you feel like the city's not doing enough for you or your alder's not doing enough for you. So,
yeah. And you don't have to be there forever. What is it? It's a three-year term. Serve your community.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's also, if you don't want to be a legislator, there's different committees you can serve on as a volunteer citizen. And so whatever your
That's
interest
true.
Or your professional passion is, you know, check that out. Call the mayor's office. Call your alder. So, Kristen, any final comments in the 30 seconds we have left?
Vote February 21st or early starting this Tuesday.
Sounds great.
And do your research and vote.
Sounds great.
Elmbrook School Board also has a primary.
Love
so
it.
Check that out
Good
if you're
call.
In the Elmbrook District.
Good call. Kristen Hansen, thanks so much for joining us today. James Santel is next with Morning Cannolis. And stick around at noon. Charlie Behrens makes his inaugural visit to Walk Radio and Civic Media. So it's going to be a really fun Saturday. And then check out the Black Shirts at Pewaukee in person. See you Tuesday. See you.